Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, joining us for the Thursday interview is former Mayo footballer Pádraig O'Hara. Pádraig, congratulations, you made it to the top of the world.
How? Still trying to figure out how we done it. But yeah, thanks very much.
Yeah, extraordinary. What day did you actually make it to the top of Mount Everest? And I know it wasn't a straightforward climb. We'll get to that in a minute. But how many days ago was you actually made it to the top?
It was on the 20th, last Saturday.
Last Saturday. Wow. Okay, brilliant. Okay, next question. What were you thinking of? Why did you want to get to the top of Mount Everest? I think you're the first All-Irish team since 2003 to get to the top of Mount Everest. Why did you do it?
Yeah, good question. There's a lot of... It's amazing the attention this has got and that so many people have become invested. Everybody's an Everest expert, certainly around Ballina and Mayo at the moment. But like people have done this, you know, year in, year out. Even Sarah Armstrong from Cross McGlen was successful this year. There were a number of other Irish people up there this year and years gone by. So it's not like it hasn't been done or won't continue to be done. But look, for me, it was just... it was just an age-old dream from being a child, something that I'd given up on a long, long time ago and that came to the fore a couple of years ago, mainly during Ultimate Hell Week. And then over the last number of years, it's just something, not an itch that needed to be scratched, but just a personal piece that I just, yeah, a dream I didn't want to give up on.
Okay. I would have watched you from afar as a Gaelic footballer and so on and on, you know, various TV interviews. You always struck me as a fella who danced to your own tune rather than somebody else's. And I saw the headline with the piece Malachy Clerkin wrote a number of weeks ago in the Irish Times when you were first talking about how you plan to climb Mount Everest. And it said, your answer isn't in the pub, it's in the sea or the mountains.
Yeah, look, I give the same advice to any young lad or young lady growing up is to try and find a way to dance your own tune. And, you know, it sounds simple, but it's really, really hard.
Really
difficult.
It really is.
I think we're talking about positive mental health, and mental health is a big topic and a reason for Everest. And I think you've just nailed a point right there. Is one of the things we struggle with most is finding our own space and being comfortable enough in our own skin to do what we want. Like, you have to remember the amount of people that looked, laughed, and probably rightfully so when I kind of mentioned that I was going to go this direction coming out of football. People will always tell you, stay in your lane, or you're mad, or you're, you know, you're wild. And look, if it makes sense to you and you're not hurting anybody in the process, isn't it worth kind of following your own tune?
It really is. It's fun. It's something I always say to my kids, but I do accept it's easier when you're an old fella than when you're a teenager in your 20s. There is that desire to conform. Everest is something that's always been in the back of your mind since you were a kid.
Yeah, but look, it's not something, like I'm probably a weird kid to some degree in the sense, like, it was the same with intercounty football. It wasn't the be all and end all for me. I didn't have the posters on the wall or follow it intently. And like, it was my absolute and utter dream to be there. I just got fortunate enough to play intercounty football and enjoyed every single bit of it. Everest, kind of the same in a sense. It's just there. there's something down in my gut. There's something that was there long before I knew who I wanted to be or what I wanted to be. And Everest sat there, and it, you know, it was something I completely left behind, and it just came back bubbling up through work and through life experience or whatever. And it just felt like the natural progression or the right direction to go in. And I kind of just followed a gut feeling, to be honest.
How difficult was it? Because I know, like, I was kind of following your diary the whole way through, and I know kind of everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong, and that's probably the way of mountain climbing, and particularly climbing Mount Everest. But I mean, you had a particular setback where you had to abandon your ascent to the final summit. Did you think that was it? And talk us through what happened there.
Yeah, it was like I've coined it anyway, Murphy's Expedition. Everything that could have went wrong did go wrong throughout the whole process, really. But like, nonetheless, the important stuff stayed and stuck, and we found a way to pivot and adapt accordingly and make it work. But I've just finished writing the last diaries for the Irish Times piece, hopefully go out this week. And it was tough. It was an emotional roller coaster even writing them. But the turnaround was, I'm still not fully there and processing it. Honestly, it was so heartbreaking. It was over. And like, I'm well aware that you get one crack at Everest. We all are. And it was over. It definitely was dead and buried, but
the conditions, was it the conditions were just too bad, was it?
They weren't. Like, you're probably asking the wrong man here. Like, I had a serious issue with turning around. I felt like we were okay. I felt like, but that could have, look, I could have been wrong. I probably was wrong, but I was not willing or ready to abandon ship at that stage. But when we did come down, I suppose, and sat where we were at Camp 4, just above it, like, you just realized you were never going to get this chance again. Maybe some people do, but I was fully aware that we weren't going to. And look, we'd done everything we could to see if we could turn it around. And we were just really, really lucky that although everything else went wrong in the expedition, this short space and time went right. Jason was down at base camp. He was able to work logistics and advocate for us. He got us more oxygen from Camp 3, which is very hard done. Somebody has to carry that for 4 or 5 hours up the mountain. We managed to get 2 other Sherpa who were willing to climb again, which doesn't happen too often either. And then most importantly, Adam and Aina, somewhere along the lines, pulled the will out of themselves to get their boots back on and get back out of tent and go again, which was sensational.
How long did that final ascent take up to the summit?
It took us 11 hours to get up there and probably another maybe 7 or 8 to get back down, I think.
Good God. So about 19 hours in total.
About that, back down to Camp 4, yeah. Like,
you must have been shattered,
dies.
Were you?
Everything was gone. Everything, like, even when we decided to go again, we understood that we probably didn't have it. Like, I was in the same boat with the lads. We were looking around thinking, it's highly unlikely that we have enough in the tank now, because we spent 7 hours above 8,000 meters trying to climb it the first time, and we're only 6 or 7 hours trying to rest, no food, no, you know, struggling desperately and well depleted. So we kind of agreed between us that we didn't have enough in the tank to do it, but nonetheless, we were where we were. So we're just going to put our foot in front of another, keep going. And whenever the clock ran out, the clock ran out. If we tanked, we could just turn around. But we didn't, lucky enough.
One of the things I'm always curious, I always wanted to ask someone who got to the top of Everest, do you get to enjoy it? Or in the back of your mind, are you thinking, actually, the most dangerous bit is still to come? Because, sorry, correct me if I'm wrong, I think I'm right in saying it's the way down from the summit that is the trickiest bit.
Oh, you're definitely right. You're 100% right in that sense. And I'm sure Everest summit is very different for everybody who gets there. I had put in a lot of work prior to leaving for that very moment, in the fear of becoming overwhelmed. I've been on big mountains before, and when you hit a summit, you get filled with such joy and elation, and it's an incredible feeling, but you do lose control emotionally. You do end up all over the shop, and there's a big down then. There's a big, you know, as high as you go very, very low very quickly. So I was really conscious of that in Everest. So personally, I hate to say it, but I didn't really enjoy the summit all that much. I was very much locked in on how do I get down from here safely? Yeah. That was it. It was kind of more dread than it was joy. Until we did get, once we got down about 4 or 5 hours out of the tricky stuff, then it was then that it hit home, really.
Ah, brilliant. Fantastic. What did you learn about yourself, or did you learn anything about yourself on that journey?
I'm still a bit afraid of that question, to be honest. I know. Look, I could go surface level and I could lie to you, you know, and make it simple.
That's not your style, though. That isn't your style, Pádraig.
No, it's not. But you're also very conscious what ends up in the public realm too.
Fair enough. And sorry, I absolutely respect that. So just answer the way you want to answer it.
Yeah, look, it was a very, very deep experience is the way to put it. Emotionally, it tears you apart, puts you back together and tears you apart again, I think. It was incredible, to be honest. It opened the eyes and makes you challenge everything and anything you've ever done. So, like, I think it's going to be one of the most profound experiences any of us have, and I'm unbelievably grateful for it.
So how do you bring that into the rest of your life? Does it change you in terms of where you go from here, in terms of your career, for example?
Well, I kind of, like I said to you about Everest itself, as if it was a gut feeling that was followed. I've fallen into that space a lot more over the last number of months in the lead up to Everest, certainly during it and now after it, in the sense that I know what I want to do going forward. I think the mental health piece is probably the most important and influential space I can find that I think really brings value to the community and to everybody, and something you're really passionate about. So I want to follow that. And whatever that leads to or whatever that looks like, I'm happy with. So I'm just letting it flow at the moment anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. You're only back a few days. Come here, most important question of all. Did you make it back for the First Communion?
Made it back for the Holy Communion. What a stunt. No mind climbing Everest. We'll just take a second to acknowledge that it took us 26 or 27 hours to go from Everest Base Camp back to Mayo for a communion. We got two helicopters, two flights, started out at 7:30 in the morning in Everest Base Camp and managed to get back to Mayo by 1 o'clock in the day. It was absolutely phenomenal.
This was your daughter's First Communion.
Yeah. And I was so reluctant to have it as a timestamp. So, like, there was two big things that were going to happen while I was over there. I was going to miss my daughter's 4th birthday. That was inevitable. And the Holy Communion was the next piece. And it was just, I couldn't really tie myself to that date. I was terrified to do it. I knew if we tied ourselves to it, we'd never make it. And look, by the grace of God and the way flights worked out and a little bit of luck at the end of a slightly unlucky expedition, we got there, which was, that was amazing. That was by far the moment of the whole thing. Like, so, every summit felt like nothing compared to coming home and getting a hug off them three. It just doesn't, like.
I was going to say, it must have been pretty special when you walked into that room, was it?
It was. That's the one you really want to unbox. And like, you asked me, did I learn anything or did I take anything away from up there? Like, I know it's easy said and it's important that it's done now, is time with friends and family away from the rat race that we call life, that we're so busy running, racing, working and doing all these things that we prioritize time with friends and family nearly as much as we should. So that if I did take anything away from the mountain, it's certainly that.
Okay. Listen, absolute pleasure talking to you, and thank you for speaking so honestly and so eloquently. The diary was absolutely brilliant. It's absolutely gripping. And the final installment is going into the Irish Times in the next day or two. Is that right, Pádraig?
Yeah, it should be done. I finished it this morning. So it should be there for the weekend, hopefully. And look, it gives an insight. Look, I could have wrote it 10 times over, especially on those days, but I've tried my best to give people an insight into it, because do you know what? The buy-in from people across the country has been phenomenal, and it makes it all worth it. It really, really does. The Irish people rode in behind the whole thing, which is incredible.
And I know, and I just want to mention again, I know you wanted to highlight mental health services in County Mayo, and that was, as you said, a big motivation for doing the ascent.
Yeah, it's the biggest talking point of the whole thing. I think if people did pay attention to the expedition, please let them pay attention to what's done in Mayo Mental Health Association and all the other incredible organisations that are working towards promoting positive mental health in this country. You know, we have Movember working really hard with the GAA. We have loads of incredible people and incredible services, and we just need to utilise them as best as we can, I think.
Pádraic O'Hara, a former Mayo footballer. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.